Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we talk about the greatest show on streaming, Warrior. Today, we're talking about the penultimate episode.
I started drinking before you said that, but I was
drinking. We've been drinking for the past 5 hours.
I was drinking while you said it, so I'm going to consider that a drink.
Speaking of penultimate, shout out to Shady Mile. Go to caskers.com.
Are you going to put that in your monster?
God, no. That's disgusting.
You didn't drink anything.
We had a scotch tasting earlier today.
Yes, we did. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader is here.
I'm mostly remarkably coherent because we've been drinking for the last 5 hours.
Yeah.
On the world's longest live stream, which I had a great time doing.
I had a great time too.
Yeah, it was fun.
Drew's also here.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm very excited to hear your synopsis for the next episode of Warrior.
Okay.
And producing the show, as always, Matthew Cater.
Yes, I'm here. And wow, what an episode.
Wow.
Woof.
But before we get going, I have another email to read you.
From?
So this is from my new best friend, Dean Jagger.
You got to get his last name
only,
right.
Yeah. You can only have one best friend. It's either David Hewlett or Dean Jagger.
Okay. Says who?
Best friend is not
best friend. BFFs.
Like, I don't know.
Sure. So he is the bar owner of my heart, apparently. But so he sent me an email. He's like, "Hey Lado," he calls me Lado.
Hey Lado.
Lado.
He probably calls everybody that.
So it's a longer email, but I just wanted to read this highlight for you all.
I synopsed it. Good job.
So basically he said, "Truth be told, I heard of your podcast going about over the years, but it was Joe Taslim who got me onto you guys.
Nice.
We're like family, you see, me, him, and Koji. So when he said, you got to watch this show, The Salty Nerd, they love us and at the same time have so much fun doing their thing, I thought I'd check you out."
Aww, that's so cool.
By doing their thing, he means talk shit.
Yeah.
Talk a lot of crap.
We talk a lot of shit.
Yeah. And that he says, enjoy the championship rounds, mate. Cheers. Matt's best friend, Dean.
Cheers. That's not how he signed that off. Hey,
do we talk crap about this show? There's not a lot of crap.
There isn't enough. Not enough, but it's.
I mean, it's not like. It's invasion.
It's so well done.
Yeah. We have a go at
but
it.
But we make fun of it. I mean, the lesbian.
Listen, I have a hard time with the show. I have a hard time with the show because I can't make fun of it. It's hard to make fun of.
You do a good job.
It's not like JT's, you know, C show where he's doing stupid shit like putting, you know,
the boulder
satellites in front of doorways and pushing instead of pulling.
The poop bearding.
They had a thing for smearing poop on people.
I have a hard time finding things to make fun of about this show.
My favorite thing to make fun of about this show is the slave lesbian labor camp. That was the best thing.
The lesbianism.
You guys just encompassed the entire vineyard. They're all full of lesbianism.
I'm all for lesbianism. It's okay. It's fine. Whatever.
Vader approves of lesbianism.
Yeah.
Chinese lesbianism. Listen,
if you have lesbianism, you're okay.
You know. But lie really is into her lesbian.
Speaking of lie,
yeah, we're gonna get into that.
This was the best cut to credit scene I think I've ever seen in my life.
I was so mad.
I know when it happened, I was like, "Oh my god, you gotta be kidding!"
What just happened?
Before we get too far into it,
dude, take it away.
Synopsis.
Season 3, episode 9. All of death is a going home. Lie has her battle with Strickland, and when it's over, Strickland leaves her body on Nellie's doorstep, which she brings to a devastated Atoy. Mayor Buckley comes to call on Big Bill and offers him the job that should have been his from the start of the season. His men greet him with cheers, and Lee, looking fine as hell in his dick uni, congratulates him. Assam and Yan Mi prepare for whatever young Jun is planning, and Assam struggles with the decision to stay behind or leave with her. Mai Ling tells her husband to calm down, and it has the opposite effect. Leary's still trying to get the Irish working, and Strickland's still educating him on the subtleties of dickbaggery, promising to make him rich if he fucks over his people. Instead, he sends Strickland a message. A big bada boom message, destroying the work done by the cheap Chinese laborers, then marches into a rich white guy luncheon and throws his dick on the table. When Strickland asks, "You really think a man like you could ever stop a man like me?" Leary shoves his dick down Strickland's throat, turning me into liquid Jude. Father June's fever has poisoned his blood. During a lucid moment, he asks his son for a warrior's death, and the Tong has a true hatchet man funeral for him to say goodbye. Hong struggles with his PTSD over at the Moulin Rouge and uses his fists and a bottle instead of his words. The DICs take Yan Mi into custody after finding her fun money stash. Her brother runs to Assam, and the way Assam marches into the police station to rescue his woman has every cop in the building gulping. He makes a deal with the dicks, selling out the Hopway for her freedom, and tells fucking Chow about it.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's crazy.
Happy Isaac comes calling on Chow, who sells out the Hopway with the information Assam just gave him. And at the end of a long day, Leary just wants to sit and enjoy a beer when five of Strickland's cronies show up with a death wish. Discuss.
Oh, man, so much. So much.
So in terms of penultimate episodes, this is one of the best ones I think I've seen out of any TV show. Because it really, it's kind of funny because, so with Game of Thrones, all the action for the season kind of culminates in episode 9, and then episode 10 is kind of like cleanup. It's kind of like set up for like the next season.
Yeah.
Having, like, you guys haven't seen the finale for this yet, but I kind of cheated and went ahead and watched it.
How dare you, sir?
This episode leads up to the finale, which is just a fuck you.
Oh,
it's so good.
Don't tell me too much. Don't tell me too much.
So like the stuff that happens in this episode just pales in comparison to what happens in the finale.
Oh, I can feel that coming because this whole episode feels like we're just a setup. It feels like a setup for whatever happens.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I mean, some stuff happened. Leary. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's like
bar curb stomping a guy.
Oh, we'll get there. We're gonna start with lie.
I literally closed my eyes.
We're gonna start with lie.
Yeah.
Don't care.
What?
Don't care.
No, dude.
I feel for real. I feel like all Lie has ever done in this show is swing your sword around. I don't feel like I'm emotionally invested in Lie.
I knew it was gonna happen.
She bites and she dies. I don't really care. Other than the fact that it gives
a toy
a reason to go murder somebody.
That's why I care.
Which is probably going to happen next episode.
That's why I care.
Lai is basically a daughter to a toy.
Yeah. She's really,
Robin to a toy's
really,
Batman.
Is she a daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
She's been there for two seasons.
What has she done?
She is the only person that a toy has protected from having to fuck people for a living.
I guess.
And she trained her as an assassin.
I don't.
She took her out to destroy.
Dude, they used to moonlight as assassins. Yeah,
I get it. I get it. Of them.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I don't feel emotionally invested in Lie.
Well, you're numbed by alcohol right now.
Maybe a little, but I've never felt that emotionally invested in the character.
What's great about Lie's storyline is she's been wanting to just be an assassin and kill all the white men that represent the people who mistreated her.
Yeah.
And that's been her arc for like two seasons now.
Yeah.
And what happened at the vineyard, which is basically where she was put and she became friends with, the slave labor and all this other stuff. But Atoy put her there to get her out of the revenge killing mode.
She liked it too much.
Yeah. And then for the last two episodes, we've been seeing her kind of methodically plot her murder of Strickland.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the culmination of that. And so it starts off right off the bat, Lai infiltrates the mansion, and she's got her sword, and she's going to kill Strickland.
She should have snuck up on him.
Yeah, she, probably. But Strickland, you know, having been set up as a master swordsman himself,
yep.
they have a duel.
Oh, man, and it's epic.
Yeah, and at first it looks like Lai has the upper hand, and then Strickland starts toying with her. And then he has this great thing where, like, she's at his mercy, and he gives her his sword back. He's like, let me see what you really got.
No, he was like, it'd be a shame for you to give up now. Yeah. Like, you've come so far.
He atta-girls her.
Oh,
it's so bad.
And then Lai does a flying leap towards him, and then
cut to credits.
I was like, fuck you, show. Fuck you.
Oh, I've never been blue-balled so badly.
And when they come back from the credits, it's not even that scene. You don't know what happened.
Yeah, no, I thought that was
brilliant. It's brilliant, but it's also like, God dang it, man. Ooh. You know what I'm here for.
Yeah. Show me that blood.
Yeah. Blood guts.
I need to see whose head is rolling.
Yeah. So what all we see is
I wasn't shocked or surprised.
I wasn't surprised because we knew this was happening. Like, they've been setting this up.
They said that he was a really good swordsman.
And yeah, those two, like, so Lai going in there and saying, I'm going to murder this guy. And mm-hmm. the setup of him being a really good swordsman, mm-hmm. those two points come to an head and you're like, oh. Obviously, this is what's going to happen, and then a toy is going to want revenge, yada, 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 progress the story.
We'll see that next
episode. It's not a surprise, but I was still like, oh my, I would have liked
to have seen Lai, like, permanently maim him. I wanted to see, across his
scar
face,
maybe,
or something like that.
You know what the technical term for this is? It's payoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something so few TV shows and movies know how to do that.
I could have seen maybe something happening to him that would have, like, permanently marked him as like, oh, I had a run in with Lai. But at the same time, that would have lessened the effect of because then we would have been like, well, a toy can definitely take him. Because if Lai can do that, then a toy can for sure go. But now we know that he's able to take on Lai one-on-one with no problem. So that sets up later.
Well, and a toy is injured still.
When a toy fights him, it's going to be a nail biting.
She cut him twice.
She got him. Yeah, but then he like learned her style.
Yeah.
In the first couple of minutes.
Also, he didn't take her seriously at first until that happened.
I wanted to see something visible. I want to see a scar on his cheek or on his face.
I'll give you a scar on your cheek.
You know what I mean? It would have been interesting to just, you know, have that.
I hear you. All right. I'll give you that. Sure. I'm satisfied.
But as far as Lai dying, I don't care.
But then
it didn't really bother me that she is gone off the show. It didn't shock me or surprise me. I didn't feel any remorse or any kind of
commitment
to the character.
Do you not feel like you spent enough time with her?
All she's ever done is wave her sword around.
It's been a badass.
That's awesome. I don't have any really.
You're crazy.
I don't have any emotional commitment to it.
Okay. Yeah, but then after we find out that Strickland won, he leaves Lai's body at Davenport's doorstep
because he mm-hmm. thinks that she sent her.
Yeah, and then Davenport takes the body to Atoy, and we see like Atoy kind of like dressing the dead body and kind of saying like, "Is there something I could have done better? Like, how could I have protected her?" And we see in that moment the resolution that, like, okay, shit's going down with Strickland. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, someone who Strickland has pissed off is going to be facing down with him. And Atoy is in the front running seat at this point.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a scene where Leary is on one side and Atoy is on the other. Strickland's in the middle. And he's just going to have to pick out what kind of painful death he wants to end with.
Wouldn't that be the team up? a toy and Leary.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Leary, the
Your
next
best
scene,
friend?
My best friend, yes. The next scene is Big Bill kind of like getting dressed the next morning after his beatdown with the police chief, and he is hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, he left his mark.
I think
it's
my favorite part of the episode.
And then Lucy shows up and she's like, there are people here to see you. And he goes down thinking that he's going to be arrested.
Yeah.
But Buckley's there. And Buckley's like, hey, my chief of police is in the hospital with his mouth wired shut. Would you like the job? And Bill's like, yeah, okay.
That's how you get promoted in this town.
Yeah. So I love it. Obviously, we've all been rooting for Bill to take over as chief. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I did feel like this was a little convenient.
A little convenient.
A little bit. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't care. This is
I kind of get it, though, right?
I get it, yeah. Because, like, who else? Who's the next option for Buckley? Like, Buckley's like, I need somebody who's been in the shoes, who can do the job. None of these other guys can. They're fresh.
You know what you get with
Big Bill. He also needs somebody that he thinks he can control.
Oh, that's also
that the rest of the police on the force
respect
and will do what they're told.
You're not wrong.
Well,
you're not wrong.
I was kind of surprised that they didn't show Leary going to Buckley and being like, hey, you need to put Bill in charge or something like that. Instead, Buckley, so like when at the beginning of the season when he appointed Kevin Spacey as the new police chief, he was interim mayor and he was trying to push the anti-Chinese agenda to the point where he could get the votes.
Yeah.
And now that he's actually mayor, he's like, okay, I don't need this guy anymore. I can bring in Bill if I need to. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of surprised that there wasn't enough politicking with like, because I could see Leary going to Buckley and being like, hey, remember that favor for like putting you in office?
Yeah. I never got the impression that Buckley didn't like the Kevin Spacey guy.
Nobody likes that guy.
I know nobody likes him, but I always thought like Buckley was like, well, I hired him to do a job and he's doing the job.
And
he failed. It's good enough. But when Bill was like, well, I'll take it. And he's like, what are you going to do with I don't even know his real name, with Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, we can get rid of a bunch of Chinese. I think we can get rid of one New Yorker Protestant. And I'm like, oh, Buckley's never liked the guy?
Buckley doesn't like any of you guys.
For religious reasons? I'm like, that's weird.
Buckley only likes one person.
Not a ginger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a ginger.
Mm-hmm. Is she in this episode?
Nope. Not at all. Man. Buckley's barely in this episode.
Yeah, no, is this the only scene he showed up for? Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
That's it. Just the one. Yeah.
I love the scene. Bill's reaction to the whole thing. He's like, oh,
really good.
It's like real, real close up, and you see his eyes just go
cuts.
And stuff all over his face. Like,
But there's that great scene where Big Bill returns to the police station. He's now hail to the chief.
Yep.
And he walks past all of his men, and he goes to the door, and there's the picture of the actor who passed away, who played the previous police chief.
Yeah,
and they just take a moment and acknowledge the guy, and it was really classy. You know, like as a fan of the show and knowing the history of like what happened to that actor and stuff like that. I was like, man, you know, that's a nice touch.
It was a nice way to go. Yeah, And I love that Big Dick Lee was sitting there in his outfit.
In his finery.
He's like, welcome back to the force, Bill. Uh-huh. I loved it, man. It was cool. I can't wait to see those guys go on adventures again. I hope. I know it's almost the end of the season, so we're not going to get much more. But, oh, man, if I can get Big Bill as chief and Big Dick Lee, that was me. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
once
we get rid of the counterfeiting, Lee is going to have to step back into his old role.
Or maybe he stays as a Secret Service agent for San Francisco.
Or now that Bill's in charge, maybe he comes back and he's a cop.
Yeah, but him and Bill, that's what you, do you know that's what she just said,
is
right?
Is that what you just said? Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Like word for word.
I'm sorry. Whatever.
Vader's been drinking for the past 3 hours.
Ambush Canyon.
It'll ambush you. Wow.
Nice.
So since we're on the topic of the Irish, let's talk about my best friend, Mr. Leary.
Oh, my God. Dean, why did you have to email him again?
Well, what's funny is, so like, we've had this interesting dynamic between Mr. Leary and Mr. Strickland in this season, where Strickland kind of took Leary under his wing and has been teaching him like the ins and outs of politicking.
Yeah.
And now that Leary's kind of like achieved a certain level of stuff, he's like, okay, I want to start cashing
in. It hasn't started paying off yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Strickland's constantly like, but if you just do this.
But he's a carrot and a stick guy, though. He's got the carrot in front of Leary, and he's like, well, just keep doing this, keep doing this,
well,
keep doing this.
The mistake that Strickland's making is that he's treating Leary like he's a self-interested person when he's really an ideologue, like he's not in it for himself. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, Leary and Strickland kind of come to a head, and they basically say, okay, you know, do this, and you'll become a rich man. And Leary's like, I don't want to be rich. I want to help. You know, get jobs for
and
my
then
people.
Strickland's like, oh, then I guess I'm just disappointed in you. And Leary's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And there's that great scene where like they're having this kind of face off at the railroad. And the moment that Leary realizes that he's been played, you can see like tears welling in his eyes. Like he's like, I can't believe I bought into this shit. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I could have been helping Irishmen this whole time.
Yeah.
I've been playing the long game, turns out the game is rigged and I never had a chance.
Yeah, he trusted Strickland for what it was worth. He's like, well, I trust you to...
You were always just going to fuck over the Irish.
Yeah, you're going to keep playing me. And he's like, well, I can't afford to pay you. Strickland did say, he's like, listen, you guys do half the work for double the price.
Yeah.
In what world...
Half the work for double the pay.
In what world am I going to do that as a businessman? That doesn't make any sense. And he's continuing, like, he moves the goalposts every chance he gets. Every time Leary pushes him, he moves the goalposts. Mm-hmm. Like, a couple times ago, he's like, well, you could get, 40 guys a job, or you could help me get Buckley as a mayor, and then we can start making changes.
Yeah.
And then that happens. He's like, well, let's go start making changes. He's like, well, not yet. Let's do this next.
Yeah. First, I got to get this bridge built.
Yeah, now I got to do this. Now it's always going to be the moving of the goalposts.
Leary's just walking around like, what the fuck are all of these Chinese workers doing here? Like, you were supposed to hire the Irish. And Strickland's like, well, I mean.
And then there's basically, like, we see Leary return to form.
Yeah.
And so basically he's like, okay, I'm going to blow up your bridge, which he does.
Well, spoiler alert. But there was a line that Leary did that I... Just,
oh,
was,
we're going to get to that.
Are you going to get to it? Okay, all right, set it up. I'll hit it.
All right, so Leary goes back to his pub, and he sees the boys that he busted out of prison. He's like, I got a job for you. And he sends them to blow up the bridge that Strickland was building with the Chinese labor. And then the next day, he barges into, like, the gentleman's club and throws, like, a railroad spike down on the table.
Also his dick.
Yeah, in front of Strickland. And Strickland's like, I'll just build another bridge in a month. And Leary's like, I'll blow up that bridge in another month. And
we'll just keep doing this, buddy.
Yeah. But then, like, there's probably one of the best lines in this entire show where Strickland looks at Leary and he's like,
the gangster emerges. You've never met the gangster.
God, my nipples got so hard when he said this.
You've never met the gangster.
You've never met the gangster. I was like, oh shit.
Damn. Yeah.
That was a Mission Impossible Ethan Hunt going,
You've never seen me very upset.
I was like, yes.
You've never seen me angry.
That was great, man.
Yeah, you haven't seen the gangster. Like, not only was that such a well-written and set up scene, but like the delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strickland's always underestimating.
Because Strickland's face after he said it, he's like, oh my God, I think he's right.
Yeah.
He's like, I've had this guy like on my side this whole time. I've never actually seen what he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
But last season, it was literally blowing up factories all around town.
Uh-huh.
Like, just take it.
Strickland wasn't in the picture really.
Not then, no. But I'm saying, like, he must have heard about it. If he's some kind of a tycoon in the area, he must have been like, oh, yeah, the freaking Irish guys are blowing
up. Yeah, because he and Nelly have history.
Yeah.
So all this leads to the final scene of the episode. Do we want to talk about that right now?
Yeah, you can skip ahead.
Well,
just
do we want to talk about Assam? And...
Yeah, but we'll... Yeah.
Well, let's do Hong.
Yeah.
Hong break up.
We're doing Leary right now, so that's fine.
Well,
okay, we'll come back to Leary.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we should end on that because I lost my fucking mind.
So Hong has one of the worst breakups ever.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, how could you not see this coming? So they go to the bar, wherever they're going, the Moulin Rouge, and they're hanging out. They're like, oh my God, I love you. I love you too. Let's live together forever in paradise. And they're like, yeah, let's do that. And then
do me on that unicorn.
Yeah. And then one of the cops from one of the beatdown guys, the redhead, the ginger.
Goddamn ginger
showed up and was all like, hey, let's go get a little freaky. And
you're the freaking cop. You're the cutest Chinese man I've ever seen.
Is that the same dude who called him Princess a couple episodes ago?
Yeah. So it's the cop from the episode where Kevin Spacey led the raid on the Hopway house.
Yeah.
And this cop was one of the ones who held the gun to Hong's head, threatening to kill him while Young Jin was getting beat up.
And he's like, you're a freaking cop. And he's like, not tonight, I'm not. And he's like, no, you're still a cop. And he just beats the ever-living shit out of him with his hands and then with a bottle. And I was like, hell yeah, Hong. But that upsets the rest of the crew.
Yeah, you got to take that shit outside. Yeah. Buddy.
And his boyfriend's like, yo, bro.
Yeah.
This is my house.
He's not a cop tonight. You're not Hopway tonight. We're all at the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. Well, he's like,
if you want to go be Hopway, you go outside.
It's like, I live in the real world, bro. Like, uh-huh. That was the most... I'm with Hong on this one.
Yeah,
for like, sure. Bro, put your Moulin Rouge nonsense out of here. This guy is torturing people on the streets every day.
Yeah.
As a crooked cop. And you want me to just forget about it because he's in this bar?
Yeah, no. But honestly, they take him out. There's going to be another person that takes his place.
Well, we take that one out, too.
Yeah,
I'll blow up that bridge, too.
Exactly.
but this is the end of, like, Hong's love story for the season. Because, like,
we'll see.
You know, we've been seeing him kind of, like, cultivate this relationship. And this is where the relationship basically ends because he realizes that he can't, as wonderful as this fantasy is, he can't actually live there mm-hmm. permanently because, you know, it's just reality just sets in.
Yeah. I felt like this was a reasonable way to close out that chapter.
Sure. Yeah.
Please don't dip back into it.
Much like how Assam.
I didn't need that storyline.
Yeah.
Like how Assam has to decide if he's going to live in the real world or in reality
I'm really
a fantasy land.
I'm really annoyed with
Assam. Are we ready to talk about Assam?
Yeah, whatever.
Let's talk about Assam.
I'm really annoyed with him right now. That dude needs to get his loyalty straight. Okay.
Well,
you know, there's pussy and there's loyalty. All right. There's
bros
know,
before hoes.
Bros and bros.
Didn't they take his brand off?
No, that was Young Jun.
There's okay. You know, it's like love and
Bleh. So let's just set this
and
up.
And then there's like my boys mm-hmm. and the Tong and making money and life.
So
and then there's like we're gonna go run away on the train together.
So Big Dick Lee in the Dick Department arrest.
Yanmi.
The counterfeiter.
The printer girl. Yeah. And Assam finds out and freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and he's like, he walks straight into the headquarters.
Oh.
And Big Bill is like, what are you doing?
Here?
Yeah.
He's like,
did you get lost?
He's like, I got to talk to that guy.
Yeah.
He goes over to, and he immediately makes a deal with these guys. Like, look, let her out. And I'll show you everything. And that pissed you off.
Pissed me off.
I'm like,
this is ridiculous.
I don't know, dude. Like, who's he going to be loyal to? The people who might want to kill him later, or his chick?
Have you never watched gangster movies? They've all got multiple women.
Are you more loyal to Alex or your wife?
Alex.
Fuck off,
Alex. 100%.
You are crazy. You are full of shit.
Hey man.
No.
Hey man,
he's not married to her.
Go to the movies with me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday.
Or hang out with your wife.
This chick is a piece that she found on the side.
Mm-hmm. You're full of shit.
You're so
you
full of shit.
And Jonathan Crawford
is not. It's not his wife.
On you, the same boat floating on the river.
You would sell me out in a heartbeat.
It's like I have not been married to you for 22 years. It's different. Okay, they're not married. They're just banging. It's like I have a hard time with this. It's like he's having loyalty issues, and it's like no, I do.
You love is weird, man.
Vader's like we ride together, we die together.
Unless it's on like, a Monday.
The Tong was around before the girl. Okay, I don't like it.
But the Tong wants him out of the picture. He's not friends with Young Jun like he used to be.
Young Jun
is plotting to kill her.
Yeah, bro.
If Alex was going to kill your wife.
He's going to kill her.
Why am I the bad guy?
I don't know, because you're across from him.
It's just, I don't like it.
I disagree with you. I think it makes perfect sense.
You can. It's fine.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm stating for the record.
Earlier, there was a scene where Awesome and Atoy are talking, and he's basically admitting that, you know, he wants to leave,
mm-hmm.
but he's conflicted because of the bros before hoes thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's put in jeopardy and put in jail, Awesome realizes, is like, hey, my heart's with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to fuck over the hop way and rescue her
on
and
my
then
way
leave
out of
together.
Town.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Who does he tell?
Fucking Chow!
So, I have
Chow.
Such a hard time.
You should have marched your happy ass right back to Atoy, who wouldn't have sold you out.
You know, if he had started a relationship with Atoy in season one,
they almost did.
I would be more obliged to believe this.
Okay.
This is a chick who came in
season three.
This season.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't. By that he's willing to sell out the entire Tong and his entire life and for her.
I do.
I don't like it. I don't buy it. I think it's just a plot contrivance.
Mm.
I don't like it.
If she showed up in like last three episodes, maybe, but she's been here for the whole season. Yeah. They started a brand new season.
I'm not going to argue that.
I think it's legitimate. I do agree that if they had built up a relationship between Asam and Atoy, which is if I was going to ship anybody in the show, it'd be Asam and Atoy.
Sure.
That's the power couple. If they ever
and their daughter, they
would be unfreaking stoppable.
Yeah.
It's cool. Printer girl, fine. Whatever. It's Asam. It's his thing. But I think it makes sense. The whole fallout with Young Jun and all this nonsense and the drama, yeah. He just wants out of it, man.
That's like,
and he sees it out with her.
I totally get Young Jun's.
I understand Young Jun's plot too.
His issues.
Yeah.
I totally get it because I'd feel the same way.
Because he's ride or die with the Tong.
Yeah. So we should point out that again, Awesome doesn't do any fighting in this episode. So this is like three episodes in a row with no Awesome fighting.
This dude went to the cop shop and sold out his fucking Tong for this bitch.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, for this piece of ass. All right.
The cop shop called.
Yeah, they want their piece of ass back.
Nonsense. It's so upsetting.
Okay, I want to talk more about him going to Chow because that makes me laugh. Because I'm like, Atoy would be a better option.
Of all the people. In Chinatown. You'd have been better off hiding it in some duck's house.
Because Chow is literally in on the deal.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, just so you know, your whole deal that you have going on, I'm about to blow it up.
I'm going to fuck you over. Don't say anything, okay?
What? I get it. I'm like, Chow?
Chow. Yeah.
It's like, I don't have any issue with the printer girl, but she's just the printer girl.
You
know what I mean?
Put some respect on Yanmi's name.
I don't care about her.
You don't care about.
I don't care about her. If she dies, whatever.
She dies.
But if it was a toy or somebody, there would be some emotional investment involved.
Sure.
Well, I feel like they built up the relationship enough where it's believable that he would do this.
Yeah.
The big thing with Chow, I think, is like we've seen throughout the season how Chow has kind of become Awesome's like consigliere. Mm-hmm. Like they become close. And so, and also because of Chow's reputation, it's like he's always the neutral party. And so I can understand why Awesome went to him. And he wasn't going to tell him anything until Chow kind of like sniffed it out.
Chow asked twice, and Asam was like, okay, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but Awesome didn't count on Happy Jack's men coming for revenge.
Happy Isaac.
I knew something was going to happen.
That was a cool twist.
Do you remember I said on record two episodes ago that I had a problem with them killing Happy Jack unless there's some comeuppance about it. Mm-hmm. So I am here to put my foot thoroughly through my mouth.
Enjoy.
They paid it off.
Happy Isaac.
Good job.
So since we're speaking of the Hopway, the big kind of emotional moment in this episode I felt was with Father Jun and Young Jun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I got some tears in my eyes during this scene.
Oh, yeah. The funeral killed me.
I didn't get any tears. It went exactly as I thought it would, to be perfectly honest with you. And the funeral was pretty dope.
The funeral was dope.
So we've seen the steady decline of Father Jun over the last couple episodes, and here he's bedridden. The medicine man's there, mm-hmm. and Young Jun asks if there's anything he can do. And he's like, well, there are poisons I can make that are painless that can ease his passing. And Young Jun's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then he sits down next to his father. And Father Jun has like this moment of lucidity where he's like, I don't want people to remember me as a sick and withered old man. And he's like, I want a warrior's death. I want people to remember me as a scrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's like, you should do what you should have done from the beginning when you took over and when you got what you always wanted. And Young Jun's like, all I ever wanted was your respect. And he's like that. He's like, Dad, I love you.
Everything about that scene went down exactly how I wanted it to go down. Father Jun told him what he wanted to hear. Young Jun told him how he felt, and they both got the exit of Father Jun that he should have got.
Well,
and it went perfectly. That was probably one of the most well-written and well-acted scenes that I've seen in this entire series.
Yeah,
it was great.
Like the moment when Young Jun tells Father Jun that he loves him.
Yeah.
The look on Father June's face when he realizes, like, oh my God, I've been ignoring this. Like, this is like, I love my son.
I don't know
too.
If he's ever said that before.
No, he's never.
Definitely never
yeah.
has.
Yeah. And so, like, the look when he realizes that his son actually, like, cares for him. Mm-hmm. And that's the moment where young June slits his throat. Mm-hmm. And Father June, as he's dying, is trying to tell his son that he loves him as well.
Oh,
but he can't quite finish it.
Bro, you're freaking killing me over here, man.
Good stuff.
God.
No, I mean, like, we're talking about a fucking kung fu crime show.
Yeah.
And, like, this moment was so emotionally poignant
from
two arguably terrible people.
Terrible people.
Oh, awful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sitting there, I got tears in my eyes.
God. Yeah.
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 When you just said he was trying to say it back to him as he's dying, I was just like, oh my God, bro. And he's just like, I don't know, he got this, like, jugular or whatever. He just got a real quick slit.
He just stabbed, like, him, and it was, like,
probably barely squirting. Hurt.
No, no, he slit the throat.
And then he put the
Diane on.
I disagree.
Fine.
I think he just cut the one
but,
side.
You know,
ask your best friend.
Cut his artery so he'd bleed out.
Yeah.
And he gave him the death he wanted, like he asked. And, you know, at the same time, he proved that he could do what his father wanted and that he had the balls enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And both characters got what they needed to grow as characters.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I thought it was brilliant. I really did.
And in that moment, young June fully steps into the leadership role of the Hopway.
Yeah. I think, you know, of all the characters on the show, I think young June actually might have the strongest arc of all the characters. He's the one who's changed the most over the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. The one who's had arguably the most traumatic experience.
Imagine the balls that you have to do that.
Oh, dude. I mean, it's got to be.
Imagine. It's just, I don't know many people that could, if any, that can do that to their.
If you know one person, I'd worry about you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strong. It's very strong.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we have Father June's funeral, where we have, like, the great hatchet man casket scene.
Great.
And and Chow gets up and gives the eulogy, which is where the title of the episode comes from. And, like, young June, like, he's still, you can tell that he blames Awesome for his father's death.
Accurate.
But he has stepped up to take over the tong, but he doesn't know that Awesome is getting ready to betray him.
Yeah.
And so there are all these little pieces being maneuvered on the chessboard where basically, you know, the Dick Squad doesn't know if they can trust Awesome. Chow has sold out Awesome to Happy Jack's boys.
Awesome has sold out the entire Hopway.
Yeah. But we haven't talked about the biggest thing this episode, which is what happened between Mai Ling and Lee Yong.
Ugh.
This, finally, he steps up to her. Like, so after the events of the last episode, she's hanging out and she's scared.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell.
Wouldn't you be?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't say it was without reason, but, like, she is scared of Lee Young. Like,
she pushed him too far too fast.
Yeah. So she's got her whole guard, like, around her, protecting her. And this dude just, like, as always, cool as a cucumber, mm-hmm. his hands behind his back, just strolls in. And he's like, all right, what's up? I see what's going on.
Yeah.
And she will not let him get close to her. I can't remember exactly what the dialogue was between them, but
he's like, do you really think I'd hurt you? And I don't know.
He tries to step towards her and the guard is like, nope. And he just looks at her.
He could easily take out that guy.
He looks at her and he's just like, oh God, please. And he just, and he's like, grabs the dude by the neck and he's like, oh shit. And
well, when he comes in, he's like, are you scared of me? Like he genuinely is surprised that, like, she doesn't trust him after all that they've been through. And, you know, these are his men just as much as they are hers.
Yeah.
And so, like, the scene is very heartbreaking because obviously these guys are no match for him and they all know it.
Mm-hmm.
And even to a certain extent, Mai Ling knows it.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he, like,
caresses her face and she's like,
I was gonna
we got
say,
married yesterday.
I was going to say when he put that thug who actually tried to stop him, like, kind of, like, you know, disabled him.
Yeah.
And then all the other guys are just like, okay, like, have at it with your wife. And he approaches her.
Good luck, Mai Ling.
Yeah. He approaches Mai Ling and she's genuinely afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lee Yong sees this, he's like, okay, this is the moment our marriage is over. And so he gives her that caress, and then he takes off his jacket, symbolizing him leaving the tong, and he leaves.
Yeah.
But the marriage is over? I didn't get the impression that the marriage is over.
I don't think they're going to be back together again.
Well, that was the moment where Leong...
That was his tong coat.
No. That was the moment Leong realized that she didn't truly love him because she was afraid of him.
Right. I got the impression that he's just a mega cuck. It's like, oh, no, I'll never hurt you.
No, he, dude, remember when you said, oh, man, if that ever happened to me, I'd just disappear and walk to Earth like Kane. Yeah, That's literally what he did.
Yeah. He's still there.
No, he's not. He left. He walked away.
I got the impression that he wasn't going anywhere.
No, he left.
He's gone.
I got to rewatch. You think, so we're never going to see the Leong?
Well, no, we'll see him again. No. But he's not in the tong anymore.
Is he going to go join the Hopway? Maybe.
Gone from her.
Yeah. He's still going to be, he might go start his own tong.
Because I got the feeling that the opposite of what you guys got is like, he went up and he like held her face and said, I'll never hurt you. Right? Isn't that what he did?
But then he takes off his coat, which symbolizes him leaving the tong, and then he walks out. So he's no longer there to protect her or do anything to benefit her.
Yeah,
I believe you guys. I guess I just miss it. But the biggest thing is
that emotionally he realized that like she was not in love with him. Mm-hmm. She was manipulating because she was afraid of him. Mm-hmm. If she hadn't been afraid of him, he would have known, okay, this is a real marriage. But the moment that he realized that she was actually afraid was the moment that he ended the marriage just by walking away. Mm-hmm. So he's no longer in Myling's corner. He's no longer loyal to her.
So he's out.
He's a free agent.
He's going to go wander the earth with David Carradine.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. He owns half
of all her shit now, too.
But you know, he's technically the leader of the
He could usurp her.
Easily.
If he wanted to. That all the dudes would be like, yep,
he never wanted that power, though.
Yeah, he never wanted it. If he wanted it, he would have taken it.
I'm not gonna follow a woman.
He pulled the Jon Snow. He's like, I don't want it. Yeah. She's my queen.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm kind of, a little bit. Hmm. Get banished to the wall.
Slit her throat. Get rid of her. Do it.
I think
let her fly off with the dragon.
That's not the last we've seen of Leong for sure. He's too much of a fan favorite for them to get rid of. He's not going to disappear. He'll be involved somehow.
Is this Game of Thrones?
It's better than Game of Thrones.
Are we watching Game of Thrones?
No, it's better.
In Chinatown?
It's better.
San Francisco?
No.
It's better?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Dude, we're three seasons in.
I guess better.
Wait until season six and seven.
I guess I'm seeing things differently.
When they start fast traveling all over the place.
Well, they've already kind of started that.
I'm good with that.
But
you know, I just didn't see that.
That's weird that you interpreted it differently.
I got to go watch it again now.
So one thing you can't interpret differently is the big fight that ends this episode.
That made me go,
I can't stop watching. I have to watch the finale.
Yes. This was the bar fight was amazing.
That was pretty good.
Dude, these guys. So Strickland's like, all right, well, he's not an asset anymore. We got to get rid of him.
Strickland, you dumb fuck. Leary is not to be underestimated.
He sends a bunch of random thugs.
Yeah.
Like nobodies.
Come on.
He doesn't even send the big guy. Remember the big dude who took down a toy?
Why killed him?
Well, they're dead.
Wait, hold on. He killed? Oh, the dude with the gun.
The butcher shop guys.
No. The butcher shop guys.
Yeah.
No, not those guys. The dude with the whip.
So many people have tried to kill a toy. It doesn't matter.
The dude with the whip at the vineyard who was taken on.
Yeah, that guy's dead.
Has he died?
Yeah.
What?
Is that the dude with the gun in his holster right here?
Yeah.
Oh, that was unceremonious.
It happened the same night.
I know, but that was kind of a bummer.
So many people have died. We're getting them mixed up.
I honestly expected a pre-boss fight.
At the beginning of this episode, the guy who was on the ground that Lai killed with the gun in the holster was that henchman.
The whip dude. Oh, that's a... All right. Well, shoot.
Okay.
I wanted a toy to, like, level up, you know, take on the mini boss and then go for the main boss.
Well, considering that Lai got killed by the main boss, she had to have some win to go out on.
I suppose.
You gotta pause it before the next one starts.
Oh, yeah. Please do not start the next one for me. But that bar fight was incredible. So, I don't have to mention this. It was just a weird thing. And maybe I'm crazy.
Okay.
During the bar fight, the last dude standing, Leary just kicks the ever-living shit out of him.
Are you talking about the...
And kicks him into the bar.
Oh, that's so brutal.
It's brutal, right?
Yeah.
But not the curb stomp one. The one right before that. Where he just, like, kicks him in the gut and he throws him up against the bar.
Yeah. Okay.
He might have picked him up later. It might be the same guy. I have to watch it again. But there's something happened, and it might have just been with the version that I watched. Not right now, because we have to turn the sound on. But there's a moment where he kicks him into the bar, and there's noise, but it's not like a...
Someone forgot to put in the Foley artist sound effect.
Something. But I checked with the peeps, and I was like, hey, here's the timestamp. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't hear anything when this guy hits the wall. And they went and they checked, and they're like, no, that's there. And I'm like, okay, so it's just whatever version they
had. You are deaf.
I am deaf. I'm like, whatever version we watched.
I caught this too. Like when we were watching it, like
I texted him.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's the timestamp. Check it out.
Yeah, and there's definitely like no sound effect, like sound design in that moment.
Okay. So Trapper's trying to gaslight you.
He's being mean.
They're trying to mess with me. They're like,
gaslighting.
Yeah, for sure.
But the sound is there. Yeah. I don't like JCVD, and this isn't based on Game of Thrones.
I guess I'm just a pleb, but because I did not notice.
You didn't notice it? No. I noticed it only because I'm like hyper focused when I'm watching the show. Like I'm literally like I've got my headphones on. Yeah. The screen is 3 inches away from my face, and I'm just like locked in. And I noticed it, and I guess I checked, and I'm like. Well, I guess maybe it was just the version that we watched, and the actual version that's on HBO is fine. Whatever.
Is it different? Cool.
Yeah, apparently they said they checked it and it's good. Well, and I'm like, okay.
But one of the interesting things about this bar fight at the end here is that, you know, a lot of the fight scenes in Warrior are very like highly choreographed and almost beautiful, in like how like they use motion and fighting and stuff like that. The character of Leary is just a brawler.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most brutal fight scene we've seen in this entire series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually when he's fighting somebody that we see Leary in a fight scene or something like that, most of the time he's not trying to kill the people. It's either in the back of the bar and they're doing some kind of a bet. He's holding back. This, I feel like he was like, oh, Strickland's sending people after me? Mm-hmm. All right, then.
I'm going to send a message.
This is... No holds barred.
Yeah.
Just went for it.
Well, they came in with guns.
Yeah. That too.
I got to tell you guys, there's nothing more brutal to me. There's nothing that makes me want to close my eyes more so than watching somebody get curb stomped.
Mm.
It is the nastiest, most brutal, evil, grossest thing that I can ever see.
Yeah.
And
I watched this fight with two hands.
I was going to curb stomp him. I can't watch it. Even if it's on a countertop versus an actual curb, there's just something about it that just.
And
like,
the crazy thing is, like, he's not stomping him with his feet. He's using his fucking fist in the back of the head to do it. It's so fucking brutal. And then after he curb stomps him, he doesn't stop. He starts like caving the guy's face.
It's so evil. It's so brutal. Bad. It's just. The most brutal way to fuck.
And then you know
up.
He's just gonna clean up the bar.
Yeah.
And like business as usual. And that guy's like teeth imprint is gonna be in that bar forever.
That's okay. Listen, I'm a little psycho for thinking this.
Listen, I'm getting a little.
But one of these days, one of these episodes, I want to see Bill sit down at the bar and go.
Oh, look at the teeth marks.
Who the fuck bit the bar? Just like pick out a little bit, like, well, that's weird.
But what's funny is that so Awesome is usually the guy who's taken on like 5 to 10 people at the same time.
Yeah,
I think this is the like we've seen Leary take on like two guys at the same time,
the two brothers.
Yeah. But this is the first time like Leary has had an awesome moment where he has to take on an overwhelming number of people, and he just destroys them.
Oh yeah,
oh my
no match.
God.
No match. Yeah. It was epic. It was a great way to end it, too. It almost made up for the blue balls that I had at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it was a crazy episode, man.
Crazy episode.
It was and it was a perfect penultimate, episode.
Cheers.
Because I have a feeling some... Wait, whoa. Hey, what are you doing? Okay.
Gotta get the clink.
You got a clunk? It was all set up for whatever happens next.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
So And don't say anything.
Say nothing. I'm really pissed off at Awesome. I am never seen a dude.
Are you on Team June?
Listen, you never put the bros or the hoes before the bros. All right. And he's breaking the rules.
The bro
he's
code.
Breaking the rules. He's breaking the rules, man. I mean,
all right.
I'm sorry if I think that way, but you know, it's just.
I mean, Vader, I'd put Jude before you any day.
But you've known Jude for long before me. Before I get it. I would expect you to. And I would expect me to put my wife before all of you. But I've known
my wife for two and a half decades.
But this didn't come in 6 months ago.
He's mad because she's too new.
Okay, what if the situation was, we're going to back up in time, and it's just when you and your wife get engaged, you're not married yet. You would still put her first. He's about to run away with her, start a whole new life with her. No. She's the first person that he can see starting over, leaving all of this shit behind.
Oh, you want to hear something else? Because the whole thing with Chow, right? Another excellent writing sequence or whatever. So she loses her money, all the money that she's been saving up from the counterfeiting. The dick squad takes it.
Yeah.
Right? So she has no money left. She has no escape plan. Assam pulls out a duffel bag. He's like,
this is real money.
This is all the chop and all the valuable stuff that I've earned over the past three seasons, which has been, I don't know,
three or four years.
Yeah, a couple of years. That I was like, that's clever. Because I would have been like, how are they going to run away? They got no money left. Mm-hmm. But he's like, nope, I've been doing this the whole time.
Yeah. It's like, listen, there's just, if some girl, if I wasn't married to some girl.
You're came, really hung up
in,
on this.
And come into my life, you know, 3 months ago and wanted me to do all this stuff and put him ahead of you.
If
she was a rival podcaster.
Right? In the podcast world.
Yeah, in the cutthroat podcasting world.
In the podcast war.
Be on my podcast and fuck those salty nerd guys and I'll give you all the pussy you want. You know, whatever. It's like, I'm like,
all the sticky you want.
Yeah. Literally just spit.
It's like,
oh my God, dude.
I would not do that to you.
Vader, you would sell us all out the minute a Russian hooker came up and wrapped you around her little finger.
I didn't say she was a Russian hooker.
That's the exception.
It's a kryptonite.
Yeah, yeah. That's his not a ginger.
So listen,
Mr.
Vader, you need to come over to me. Like, no. I can't even hear the accent right. But, you know. I just have a problem with this.
What, do you think you love podcasting?
No, it's very good, yeah.
You think you love podcasting more than you love this? Yeah. Let me show you something. I'll show you a world you've never seen.
Yeah, that would be something.
I take you to the fuck palace.
I believe in loyalty, man. And this little, I mean.
I bring out the Flugelhammheim.
My friends Hans and Kripper will show you a good time.
I don't like it. I don't like what they're making.
A really good time.
Listen, they're just making awesome be a freaking.
I disagree, but okay.
He's a slave to his dick.
I can't.
Right? And I don't like it.
Who is it, bro?
Who among us is not a slave to their dick?
How many kids I have?
Right.
I don't like it. I hope. What is her name?
I hope she dies.
I don't like her.
What? No, you die. Bull crap.
Gone.
Listen.
Get rid of her.
If she dies.
She dies.
No big deal.
All right. Well, we've heard your grievances, sir. I cannot wait for the finale.
Yeah. Jun and Hong or
who? What?
What? Whatever her name is. And the boys, young, you know, get the fuck out of here. There's a whole whorehouse full of sticky over there. If I need to get my dick.
So I will say fun. That out of all the penultimate episodes I've seen, this is one of the best.
Yeah.
And being the only one at the table who's actually seen the finale, I can tell you guys that you are in.
Shut up.
For eight.
Stop talking about it.
He loves.
Stop talking about it.
He loves. Yeah. That he watched it.
I'm just. I'm just so excited for you guys because, like, if I could go back and relive the moment I had watching the finale of this season, I would do it.
You guys want to watch it together?
Yeah. Right now.
No, I can't do that.
It's freaking 5 p.m.
It's Tuesday.
I still have a movie review to do, okay?
Yeah.
It's a piece of shit we got to talk about now.
We're going to bounce. So, yeah, again, cast and crew, guys are great.
It's a great show.
Dean, awesome. Love it. Thank you for emailing Kater. She will never not call you.
I love the fact
you mean my best friend, Mr. Jagger.
I love the fact that
hit up one of the other ones the next time.
You can
please
email me.
Literally, anyone else from the cast.
I'm not going to talk to you. I love the fact that people on this show are watching our podcast.
It's weird. It's still weird.
And emailing us about it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Big shout out to Joe Towson.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
God, I can't wait
to
see
you're a cuck.
We like you even though you're a character.
It's like, kill that bitch. Let's fucking go.
Cool.
Listen, I'm so glad you guys have a thick skin.
Take the tong over for yourself.
Shut up!
Your tong. Take the tong.
Need a t-shirt. Take the tong.
Take the tong.
Take your tong out of her purse.
The coach best friend. Kill the chairman.
He did kill the chairman. All those iron chefs are now leaving us.
Like, Bobby Flay is really pissed
Leon, off. Leon, what is good in life? All right. We're out of here before Vader says anything obtuse. thank you guys for watching and hope you enjoyed this episode. We will see you for the season finale.
Can't wait.
And good God, do I hope we get a season four. Make sure you beat the drum for Warrior. Fans yes, of the show, talk about it as much as you possibly can. Spread the word. Tell your friends to watch it. And get more people on board with this so we can get more seasons because of all the shows out there, this one definitely deserves it.
And subscribe to us too.
And check out the official podcast, which Hoon Lee co-hosts.
Yeah. They're not as raunchy as we are, I promise.
Well, nobody's as raunchy as we are.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
I don't apologize for any of it.
I know you don't. All right, that's it. Thank you so much. Stay sticky. See you next week.